Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week time, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And our author today, Dr. Rainer Zeidelman. He is a historian, sociologist, and multiple best-selling author, publishing 28 books, which have been translated into more than 30 languages. And the book we're talking about today, How Nations Escape Poverty, Vietnam, Poland, and the Origins of Prosperity. I appreciate you being with us, particularly the time zone difference here. And I'll start off by asking you, what made you decide to write this particular book out of all the books that you've written?
Yes, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. I traveled in the last 20 months to 30 countries all over the world. I've been in Asia, Latin America, United States, and Europe. And I saw it in my lectures with young people that at school or university, they don't learn how nations escape poverty. And there are a lot of wrong ideas. I'll give you one example for a wrong idea. One wrong idea is more development aid. We should help countries like, for example, in Africa. But I show in one chapter in my book that development aid did not work. On the opposite, in some cases, it made even things worse in these countries, but definitely it did not help. And I try to find out what helps, because they don't learn it at school. And I don't discuss about theory. I have only one chapter. This is an Adam Smith chapter, because he was right. Even 250 years ago, Adam Smith understood that the only way for a nation to escape poverty is economic growth. And the only important precondition for economic growth is economic freedom. And that he was true. There are a lot of examples, but I took two new examples in my book where most of people don't know much about it. The first is Vietnam. Vietnam was, even in the 90s, the poorest country in the world. Poorer than all African countries, not only because the war, they had the war with the United States, but they were also in war with France, with Japan, with China. But after they won the war, they made a big, big mistake, and they implemented the socialist planned economy. And what was not destroyed by the war was destroyed by the planned economy. But people in Vietnam are smart. They understood. They didn't blame the United States for that terrible situation. You know, this is what African countries do very often. We are poor because of colonialism, because of slavery, because of Western countries, what they did to us. No. In Vietnam, they were even not upset against the United States, and they didn't blame the United States. They saw it was their own mistake to implement the socialist planned economy. And they started first allowing private property, it was not allowed before, and then opened the economy for foreign investors from Japan, Asia, United States, and Europe. They welcomed foreign investors. And so this was the way how poverty was reduced from 80% in 1990 to less than 5% today. And I think this is an amazing story. The reduction of poverty from 80% to less than 5%. Every country could learn something about it. First lesson, don't blame the others. Don't blame the others, but look where you were wrong. And the next thing is, the only thing that helps to escape poverty is economic freedom. And the second example in my book is Poland. Poland was one of the poorest countries in Europe in the 80s. Poorer than the Ukraine, and average Pole earned only $50 a month. This was in the 80s. They had to stand in long, long queues, long lines to get the product for their daily living. Sometimes they had not only to wait hours, but even days to get some product. And this was the situation in the end of the 80s, when I was young and I lived here in Germany. And then they started also in 1990 with free market reforms. They abolished socialism. They welcomed capitalism. And there was a big reformer. His name is Balcerowicz. And he introduced private property and started with privatization. And today, Poland is Europe's growth champion. Since three decades, it's the fastest growing country in Europe, and standard of living increased. And I think these stories, and I have not only numbers and facts in my book, but I had interviews, for example, in Vietnam with ordinary people. They explained how their life was before and how it is now. And I think these are great examples that, contrary to this, what maybe teachers told you at school or university, that capitalism helps, and capitalism especially helps poor people, because this is the misunderstanding. Some people think capitalism is only good for the rich. No, it's also good for the poor people. And I showed with these two examples.
We are talking with our author of the week, Dr. Rainer Zeidelman, the book, How Nations Escape Poverty, Vietnam, Poland, and the Origins of Prosperity. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on the relatively recent presidential elections in Argentina. You have the libertarian, self-described libertarian, a new president there, Javier Milei, who has seemingly recognizes these realities and has taken on a great deal of reform. Do you think that Argentina may be another example of what happens when you move away from the more big government socialist economies to capitalism?
Yes, I hope so. And I'm proud that Javier Milei's spokesman, he wrote the preface for the Spanish edition of the book that will be published in August, because I thought that this book is especially very important for people in Argentina, because they can learn two lessons. First lesson, economic reforms help, free market reform helps. You have to know that Javier Milei, he's an economist, and he believes in the same teachings as Balcerowicz in Poland. They believe in Hayek, in Mises. They have exactly the same ideas. And you can see in Poland that it worked with Balcerowicz. They had a very similar situation, very high inflation rate, and the economy was in a bad shape, and a lot of poor people. Very similar situation to Argentina today. And he has the same philosophy as Javier Milei. In their personality, they are quite different, but their economic beliefs are the same. But now is the next very important point for Argentina. In Poland, it took 2 years before the economic reforms made the situation better for people. First were 2 years where even the situation became worse in a way. Why? For example, hidden unemployment became open unemployment. And of course, what went wrong over decades and decades and decades in Poland or in Argentina or in other countries, you can't change it in 2 months or 3 months. First, things will become worse, and then they will become good. And this is what we know from other examples. For example, Maggie Thatcher's reforms in the UK in the 80s, it was the same. First, two bad years. And I wrote in my preface for the Spanish-Argentinian edition of my book, be patient. Be patient. Don't expect that Milei can change things in half year. This will be not happen. And don't be surprised if some things become worse before they become better. And so my prediction about Argentina, if people understand this, if they are patient enough, and this is the reason why it was so important for me that I can publish the book also in Argentina, and I will go to Argentina. I've been there several times and met people from Milei's party, and I will go there to tell them this message. Be patient. If they are patient, I'm 100% sure Argentina could be a role model for other Latin American countries, because most of them are governed by socialists today in Colombia, in Brazil, even in Chile, what was always the most capitalist country in Latin America. Now they have a socialist there. And if Javier Milei will succeed, we will have a great libertarian revolution all over Latin America. I'm very sure.
Well, I certainly would hope so, and it'll lead to my final question, and then any final thoughts you have. Our author of the week, Dr. Rainer Zeidelman, the book, How Nations Escape Poverty, Vietnam, Poland, and the Origins of Prosperity. What do you see as the obstacle here? I mean, my approach seems to be similar to yours, and what works And we have examples of what works. And so why don't we just do that when things don't work? But there are, even here in the United States of America, we have certain economic policies, tax policies, spending policies that when implemented and time goes by, we see that everyone benefits, but then there will be efforts by others to undo those things, despite the history showing that the opposite effort doesn't work. And then you mentioned university campuses here and reference that so many young people don't know the truth. It seems worse than that. They actually, it's the anti-truth. In fact, not only does capitalism not work, but they say capitalism and freedom is the problem. So what's the obstacle here when something is so clearly shown to be the pathway to success, yet so many people they refuse to acknowledge the truth?
A very good question, and my answer is this. First, people who should defend capitalism, especially entrepreneurs, they don't do it. I understand it in a way. They're very busy with their, you know, daily activities to run their business, but all these people at university, they don't have to do anything. And then all over the day, thinking about new utopian versions, visions for an allegedly perfect society. But the big problems, these are the intellectuals. I can recommend another book for me. This is the title is The Power of Capitalism. And I have one chapter, Why Intellectuals Don't Like Capitalism. Because this is the problem. The intellectuals are the problem, not the workers, not ordinary people. Intellectuals are the problem because they have all these crazy anti-capitalist ideas. This is their religion. And they prayed day by day at schools and university. And so I wrote the book not to convince anti-capitalists. Another interviewer asked me a few days ago, do you think you can convince anti-capitalists? And I said, no, I don't think so. And then he asked me, why did you write the book when you don't believe you can convince them? And I said, no, they will not read the book. They will not buy the book. I know it. I wrote the big book for people like you, people who believe in free market, in capitalism, and to give you new facts, new arguments so that you can win every discussion with anti-capitalists. And I recommend to buy some of these books and give it to young people, give it to students, and that they have a kind of weapon if they are in the university and the professor tells them capitalism is to blame for all bad things in the world. You have a lot of facts to refute this. I will only give you a last one important figure. 200 years ago, before capitalism, 90% of the worldwide population lived in extreme poverty. 90%. Today, it's less than 9%. This is what capitalism did. From 90% to 8.5% in only 200 years. Isn't this amazing? But if I ask people, have you heard about this? Have you heard these numbers at school or university? No. We haven't heard about it. This is a problem. And maybe final thing, I asked always another question. I told you about my lectures in 30 countries all over the world in the last 20 months. In every lecture, I asked one question. Have you heard about the biggest socialist experiment in history that happened in the end of the 50s in China? Mao Zedong called it the Great Leap Forward. 45 million people died. 45 million people died as a result of this experiment. I have also a chapter in my book, The Power of Capitalism. And when I asked them, have you heard about this at school? Only very few people raised their hands wherever I speak, whether it's in Asia, Latin America, Europe, or the United States. And this is a problem. This is the reason why I'm writing my books, because if teachers would tell them at school, I wouldn't have to write so many books. But this is the reason why I do it.
Well, thank you for the book and your time this morning. Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Dr. Rainer Zeidelman, the book How Nations Escape Poverty, Vietnam, Poland, and the Origins of Prosperity on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.